Good evening. Bonus of Ardy, a jolly old eek, Josh.
Right. Nice to see your face, in other words.
That what it means?
It does indeed. That's a bit of Polari to start the evening. I thought I was just in a Polari mood. Bona fantabulosa.
Thank you. Welcome, listeners, to this madhouse already. It's HIV Hour on a Thursday evening. Thank you for joining us. That was David.
I'm still here.
Can you explain to our listeners what that means a little bit? Bona.
Well, so Polari was it's a mixture of languages and slang that was used as a secret language for LGBT people, and it's coming back a little bit because I know Ollie Alexander, his latest album was called Polari.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And once upon a time, well, you bought me a book about it once upon a time, didn't you?
I did.
Yes.
Very thoughtful.
It was very thoughtful. Yeah.
Thank you in that speech.
Sorry, I don't know.
You haven't read it. It's gone to
It's not a dictionary. It's a history of the language. It's a very good read. But yes.
So it's not a back of a cupboard.
No. It's proudly on my bookshelf.
I'm on a joke.
Anyway, what have you been up to, Josh?
I think I said last time that my father passed away, so it was the funeral last week. So I've just come back from up north. It was a lovely send off. And do you know what? It's such a big build-up. You can't really tell how you're going to feel when somebody close dies. It's a weird, weird feeling. And so, I don't know. Now I've come back, I feel a bit clearer in a way. So it's just a case of going through the process of grief, really.
Yeah, especially for a parent, it lasts forever, doesn't it? Yeah,
I don't think you ever get over it, I think you just learn to accept it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, with my dad, I kind of just do a lot of myself, and in which we do, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I think that's what I'll take with me, some of the things. You have to remember the fun things as well.
Oh, yeah.
Cutting his hair, his sideburns when he's lying in bed. Yeah. He couldn't lift his head up, unfortunately, but I'll just do the sideburns. Just those things you remember.
Oh, lovely.
Thank you. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, so as well, I went to a certain night a week or so ago. A certain Mr. Sharples was DJing, and I enjoyed myself. I had a little dance.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I even dressed up because it was for Halloween. I dressed up with a friend, and we sort of went as your bodyguards, didn't we?
It was brilliant, yeah. I was a bit like, very underdressed. For St. James Street.
Well, you were well dressed for St. James Street, so yes, you were.
It was a good night.
Well tired. Yes, it was a good night. I enjoyed myself. And then since then, I've been sort of working on Speaking Volumes, which was an oral history project for people living with HIV. And I've been transcribing and remastering the audio for that. So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, so hopefully that'll be on display at the Jubilee Library. But we'll discuss that more in community news later on.
Yes, brilliant. The rest of the gang, Sue, Philip and Stephen, are on other things today. So it's just me and you in the studio. It's nice to be back in the studio, to be honest, because it's been a while for me.
Yeah.
You forget sometimes, don't you, when you do it remotely?
Yes, you do. Yeah, I mean, the quality of the sound's better here, and it's better for having a conversation with people face-to-face, where even though you're looking at someone on a screen, it's just misses something. It reminds me of the old, the COVID days when you couldn't meet face-to-face. It's something about being in a room with somebody that makes the interaction all the more meaningful.
Yeah, it feels better. Shall we get on with, what's on the show? We're just doing stories this
time. We've got lots of different stories, really, from from globally and nationally and locally. I hope you enjoy it, listeners.
Yes, I think I'm sure they will.
We've handpicked by us.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on Brighton 97.2 FM and on DAB Plus Radio. There are two websites you can discover more about us. Ooh. There's radioreverb.com, and we have our own website, which is hivhour.org.uk. And you can email us and the team, Sue, Philip, Josh, Stephen, myself, at info@hivhour.org.uk.
Great stuff. So we're going to do some stories, aren't we? We're just going to jump in and see
stories,
what happens, aren't we? There's lots going on at the moment, and we've got World AIDS Day coming up.
There is.
And,
there isn't. There's just been a big conference in Paris, I understand. And there's been all sorts of news coming out about, the new injectable PrEP treatments and things like that. But I've got a story that just is of interest to me because it's just about something that's... Josh, have you ever had a heart attack?
No.
I think you'd know if you did.
No. But, I've had things where I thought it was something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my father's had a heart attack. I know other people have had heart attacks.
Yeah.
And living with HIV, we are more likely to have problems with sort of high sort of LDL cholesterol. I don't know if it's to do with the virus or if it's to do with the therapies that we used to take in the past or current therapies.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This conference, which was the... I forget the name of the conference now. Oh, dear, that's not so good, is it? But anyway, the conference in Europe that they had, so it was reported on the 29th of October that despite guideline changes recommending statins for people living with HIV, particularly people over 40, the uptake of taking statins remains low. And so the control of cholesterol is suboptimal, to use their scientific terms. Now... You know, I think Beaver, the British HIV Association, they put forward very strong guidelines earlier on in the year, which I think we did report on, that you know, anybody over 40 should really be on statins. And I've had friends of mine saying, oh, I'm not sure if I want to go on to statins, I'm not sure about the side effects. Well, statins have been around for a long time now. I did further reading earlier today, and there's about 6 or 7 different types. Which have
different statins.
Different statins. Oh, okay. So that use your HIV pharmacist and your GP pharmacist to discuss what is best for you, because some protect the liver, for example, more. I mean, obviously, there are things that we can do to improve our lifestyle by not smoking, not drinking so much, eating healthier foods. But statins really do cut down your chances of having cardiovascular events.
Yes. How long have you been on statins, David?
I've been on statins for over 10 years. I've had no undue effects. I have. The dose has been increased since I've been on... since I've become older, and I think since the advice has come through that it's better to be on a higher dose. So, but you can start on a lower dose if you're worried about side effects, and sort of slowly titrate the doses up. It's the European AIDS Clinical Society. The conference they had. But anyway, the various professors said that Europe needs to do more in getting people onto these statins. So that's from a European conference that happened just a couple of weeks ago.
I think people are a bit scared, aren't they? Because I think Sue mentioned that she was thinking about.
Yeah.
She took. She was just thinking about going on and what that would be.
Yeah,
like.
Start gently. I mean, we're getting used to now taking our flu jabs and taking the COVID jabs, and I've recently just had my shingles jab. So I'm feel like a little bit of a pincushion. I do.
You like one?
Yes, I do. Yes, plump and full of holes.
Don't drink that water because you'll have to wipe it up.
Yeah,
wipe it up later. I mean, when I got asked to do on the statins, I just thought, do you know what? In for a penny, in for a pound, to be honest. Just,
yeah.
I need to actually, when you get the results of your cholesterol when you go to the Lawson unit or wherever you go to, it is working. So
the science is there that backs it up. So no, we wouldn't be recommending things if it wasn't safe to do so. I mean, we're taking antiretroviral therapy because it's proven to extend our life significantly to a natural lifespan. So you know, it's if you can avoid having a heart attack, it's best to do so.
Yes, I think so. It's interesting with tablets, isn't it? Because having HIV, because. I take pancreatic insufficiency tablets, Creon, and obviously you take quite a lot through the day, depending on what you eat. Obviously.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, more tablets. But actually, it's keeping me... I'm HIV, and so it's like, actually, I just kind of accept it. I'm trying to accept the fact that this is where we're at the moment.
I mean, I understand pill fatigue. Sometimes you've got you get up in the morning and you've got a whole handful of pills to take. And it's not, obviously, HIV pills, but because I take several HIV pills at once that work as a combination, that's sort of 3 pills I take, and then plus, you know, other painkillers and statins and other such things. It's like, oh, really, do I have to take these every day for the rest of my life? But then again, I wouldn't have a long and healthy life if I wasn't taking
them. Yeah, that's I think that's the thing, isn't it? Realizing that actually these are helping me and keeping me going and keeping me alive, and so it's
So you, Josh, I mean, you've tried the injectables, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go. Yeah, so I was on the injectables a couple of years ago, and during that time, I got diagnosed with pancreatic insufficiency, which really horrible.
It was a bit of a blow, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're going to do a segment on it sometime in the future with a few people, because I know a lot of people with HIV, not a lot, but some people have got the
same. It seems to be becoming more common in the people that we talk to, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be good to get somebody on who knows about it and can talk people through, because I think it's a real minefield. Because everyone's different,
yeah,
and everyone has to, manage it their own way. Mm. But it's just, it's that, as you say, that taking those pills every time you eat, even having a coffee, milky coffee.
Yeah,
I mean, I've just had a cappuccino and I should have had one, and I haven't.
Right.
So what happens is, I'll just say to listeners, is it's my pancreas is, if you've got pancreatic insufficiency, it's not getting rid of the fat that's in your stomach. So over time, it just becomes like a fermented thing in your stomach. So
that's not nice.
Yeah, so the creon helps that by releasing these
little enzymes
which are pig enzymes. So if you're vegan or vegetarian, it's a bit difficult in that
way.
Yeah, so that's another thing.
Okay.
So it's just remembering to take them and how many you take. So it's all a balance. So we'll get people on who's experienced and a professional.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
What was the question in the first place?
About well, you went on to injectables to try and decrease your pill load, didn't you?
Remember,
and then ended up with another disease, which you thought may have been caused with the injectables.
Yeah, so because I didn't know whether the injectables, so I came off them, and to be honest, you have to come off the injectables for a few months to come out of your system.
Yeah, so of course.
So it's been over a year, and now I realise that I had pancreatic insufficiency before, so I'm going to go back on the injectables.
Yeah, so
it's the long answer to that.
But yeah, but also showing you that pancreatic insufficiency is not caused by the injectables that we know of so far.
I think you're very low risk.
Yeah,
but I think I needed to do it just because I didn't know. So
yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, everybody's walking experiment, I suppose, because everybody's body reacts differently.
Absolutely, yeah. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. Ooh. Yes, that was good, wasn't it?
We mentioned earlier, just before that song, about pancreatic insufficiency.
And
Josh, you did say that we were going to mention it in a future episode. So, listeners, we're inviting you to get in touch. If you experience pancreatic insufficiency, please do get in touch with us at info@hivhour.org.uk if you'd like to come on the show and talk about it. And we're going to invite a doctor along as well to see if we can find out what it's like and what we can do about it, and just learn more and teach our fellow listeners more about it. So please do get in touch. info@hivhour.org.uk.
Brilliant. Thanks, David. Welcome back to the HIV Hour. Yeah, it's just done all that. So the things.
Yeah.
So I've got the opt-out testing, which has been going for quite a while now.
Some time. Yeah, yeah. It was piloted here. So I think
in Brighton,
in another sort of high prevalence city. So so it's commonplace now, I think, across the country, isn't it? So please do tell us more.
Yeah. So the UK Health Security Agency published its evaluation report. So they've done a groundbreaking emergency opt-out testing program.
Mm.
It's an integrated bloodborne virus, which, well, I'll probably say later, is BBV. So when I say BBV, it's bloodborne virus.
Okay.
For HIV, hepatitis B, and hepatitis C. The findings show that the program has identified thousands of people living unknowingly with BBV, the bloodborne viruses, and many now being offered life-saving treatment.
Fantastic, isn't that such good news? Because I mean, HIV, it can be 10 years before you can show any symptoms, isn't it? So and that's and all the while it's doing damage to you, and obviously things like hepatitis as well, and
yes,
and other bloodborne viruses which you mentioned. It saves lives, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
All people have to do is say yes or no, and most people, it looks like, are saying yes. So that's brilliant. That means it's removing the stigma, because people are being offered it, A&E departments as well.
Emergency department.
Yeah, emergency
department. And I think it's, we always say this, we're very lucky in Brighton and cities like London and Manchester and Glasgow and around the country. We've got a community, an HIV community and support, but if you're living somewhere hasn't got that,
yeah,
so it's just a great place to do it, and you can get
go from there
then, can't you?
You can
connect with support then.
Exactly.
As part of the blood test taken during emergency care in 34 emergency departments in areas with the highest HIV prevalence, people are automatically tested for HIV, Hep C and Hep be. But you have to opt out, so that's that's why I do it. Mm-hmm. The results demonstrate the programme's significant impact. Over 33 months, it conducted over 7 million BBV tests.
Really?
Representing around 50% of all testing done in these areas during this period.
Wow.
It achieved a high test uptake rate of around 70% among eligible people.
Right, wow.
So, Newegg diagnosis, there was... Do you want me to go through the...
Yes, please do, yeah.
So there's 3,667 new hepatitis B diagnoses.
Yeah.
831 hep C diagnoses. Oh. And 719 HIV.
So not far off 1,000 of each. Yeah, yeah. So, wow, wow. So that's, you know, I mean, some people may have more than one virus.
Yeah.
Unknowingly, but that's, you know, that's also, you know, if you're getting people with HIV, as we know, getting people onto treatment as soon as they become diagnosed, they then become undetectable and then they can't pass it on.
And it's making it, I don't like this word normal, but it's normalising.
Yeah. It's being responsible for your sexual health and your blood health as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, sorry if I get the name wrong, Dr. Seema Mandel, who's a consultant epidemiologist.
That's the one.
of the Blood Safety Hepatitis STI and HIV Division at UK Health Security Agency. She says the pioneering NHS opt-out testing programme in emergency departments is helping reach thousands of people who did not know they were living with HIV or Hep C or Hep B. Many of these individuals might never have been tested otherwise.
They've just gone in for a sprained ankle and they're offered a blood test and that saved their life, having that sprained ankle.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how many people opt out.
Well, if it looks like 70% are opting in, so so you know, three quarters are saying yes, and only a quarter are saying no. Well, 30% are saying no, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well done.
It's all in the data.
I didn't do well at school. The high number of new diagnoses across all three conditions, particularly consistently high hepatitis B numbers, shows just how many people are living with undiagnosed bloodborne viruses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how many more people are out there, really?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's an easier way to go. There's no stigma attached to going to a sexual health clinic, is there? So.
No, yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The new data goes further. It shows that a combined approach to opt-out HIV, B and C testing in A&Es is highly effective. 1,000 more people are now on life-saving treatments. We've said this, but this programme shines an indisputable light on the quiet crisis of people living with HIV but not accessing care. Action on this must be a priority.
Mm. We must continue with the policy of opt-out testing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
do a bit more stats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or Richard Angel from...
Oh, CEO of Terence Higginstrom.
Yeah, so that's what he says the numbers are in and the overwhelming success of... Showing, you know, on the overwhelming success of it. And over 60%, he also said that 60% of people tested had no record of previous testing.
Right.
The programme delivered substantial benefits for older patients and those from ethnic minority communities.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, that's stigma raised, isn't it?
There is a stigma about HIV testing. We know that. I mean, the data, I think, that Sue reported on the last show, you know, showed that the, you know, in the heterosexual community and in some ethnic minority communities, that it's not going so well in terms of prevention of HIV, or, you know, just getting people into care and onto treatment. So to try and get to our 2030 goals, we've got to sort of really double down now and really reach the hard to reach.
What do you think about that then?
We have to do it. We have to do it. We can. I mean, it's yeah. Some people say it's not. It can't be done by 2030, but you know, if everybody pushes that extra mile, who knows what we can do?
Yeah,
you know, we've got some stories coming up, which, you know, hopefully, you know, us ourselves living with HIV. Quite often, we are educators. I've been in situations where I've picked somebody up and I realise that they've got no knowledge about HIV whatsoever, and then the passion goes completely from the evening. But then I become the teacher and they say, well, no, this is I am living with HIV and this is what it's like and this is what we should do and this is, you know, about U equals U and stuff like that. So, you know, people living with HIV actually play a role as well, as long as they're confident about talking about HIV to complete strangers as a, and that's something we'll come on to in the article that's coming up.
But as from last time, from what Sue was saying, the last episode was about the stats.
Yes.
How many people who are heterosexual are...
It's the prevention rates are much better in the LGBT community.
Just reaching those different groups, isn't it? Do you want another song or do you want a story? It's up to you.
Story.
Oh, go on then.
Yeah. Go on then. You tell me a story.
Tell me what about... Well, there's two little bears... oh no, that kind of story.
Oh, Teddy Bear's Picnic.
Sorry.
Do you want to do a story or shall I do a story?
You do a story. You do a story. Let's
move on to. Sorry, he said shouting to my friend. Sorry, listeners, I just went a bit loud then. But so there is. We know about U equals U.
Yes.
Don't we?
Yeah.
Did you know about K equals K? Or H equals H?
No,
or
I didn't.
I equals I?
No,
or
that's very strange.
Equals
No.
Well, of course, U equals U is. Untransmittable, undetectable is equals untransmittable.
Right.
But obviously that's in English, isn't it? So what if you are in a country that doesn't speak English? Well, obviously it's something else. It's K equals K or H equals H or N equals N in the Netherlands, for example. So sorry to everyone who's Dutch for the mispronunciation of N. But yeah. So anyway, I discovered through an email recently that the Prevention Access Campaign, which is a fantastic global organisation that is really promoting U equals U, has created a U equals U university.
And
we've actually got a little audio clip from on their website. There's a video which we're going to play an audio clip once I finish waffling about it.
Yes.
I mentioned in the previous article about, you know, that we are quite often become peer educators or we teach people about HIV if we are strong enough to do so. But at the U equals U University, then they do actually have courses for people living with HIV or for health educators, or it's actually the same course, but you know, you can choose. There are different courses. There are sort of guided courses and courses that you can do on your own. But if you have the confidence to talk about U equals U, that decreases the stigma that you feel, that internalized stigma.
Yeah,
so if you're given the skills and the confidence to, you know, the science backs it up without doubt. It's been proven. 128,000 sex acts were studied in the various studies without using condoms, and not a single person was transmitted HIV.
Right.
So, you know, the science stands for itself. So, but knowing that and understanding the details behind that, and I mean, I'm confident about talking about it anyway. But it was just, you know, going out there and just be newly diagnosed, and it would give me the confidence to talk about it more with my family, with my friends, and I could help them not worry about me getting every time I got a cough or a cold, wondering if I was going to die. Well, that's the old style, you know, HIV awareness that, you know, from the old days. But with treatment being so effective now, we can, and we know we can live long and healthy lives. So there are these courses. I mean, they're about 4 hours long.
Is it all on online?
So it's online. So if you just search for the U equals U University and you'll find it. So the courses are for people living with HIV and community leaders, including peer educators and network leaders who share the U equals U message. It's also for healthcare providers and clinic teams, including physicians, nurses, pharmacists, counsellors, case managers, peer navigators, front desk staff, and anyone who can communicate U equals U in care settings or like care homes. It's also for public health practitioners, including health department staff, for non-governmental organisations and community-based organisations, for communications and advocacy leads, policymakers and funders. There are so many people that could benefit from this training to give them the confidence to talk about it. We need, you know, the more we can get U equals U out there,
the better.
They're better.
Yeah. Do you want to listen to the?
Let's listen to the audio from the video from their website.
So yeah, this is welcome to the U equals U University.
Welcome to U equals U University. U equals U is a transformative message and movement around the world.
I was diagnosed with HIV in 2013. I went from being in denial to being scared. I wanted to meet an amazing partner. I wanted to have children.
When the viral load is undetectable, HIV is untransmittable. The risk of sexually transmitted the virus is, you guessed it, zero.
U equals U. This has been a game changer. My husband is HIV negative. We were able to conceive naturally.
When I was first diagnosed with HIV, I thought it was a risk to everyone around me. I thought I'd never have sex again or that I'm unlovable. People aren't educated on it. I knew I needed to break this vicious cycle. You Cause You is basically my superpower now.
This is real, this is science, and these are not rumors, because one of the things about the HIV response is there are so many rumors. These are facts. You equals you works.
If we were to get each and every person with HIV on treatment and virally suppressed, who is going to transmit HIV? No one.
You are not just undetectable, you are so untransmittable too. That's why we say, this is the hope, this is the dream. When they know that you is the reward, the gift for them. So that's why we really want this U equal U to spread to the Cambodian people.
We're saying K equals K in Vietnam, B equals B in Turkey, I equals I in Spain and Portugal, and N equals N in the Netherlands.
We need the undetectable is untransmittable or you is you message to become standard knowledge worldwide. It will save lives. It will reduce suicides and murders on trans sex workers especially.
Healthy me equals healthy you, healthy society. Win-win.
You equals you is power. Thank you.
Together we are transforming lives and accelerating an end to HIV as a public health threat. Thank you for joining the global movement. Speak out. Share the message. You equals you.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area and on DAB Plus Radio. Don't forget we have our podcast.
Oh, yes.
And we can listen to us again at the Listen Again page at radioreverb.com. We are also really proud to have sponsorship for the HIV Hour by Jack Russell Technologies, and they've been guests on the show in the past, and I think we're having them on again in the future.
Yeah, they want to come back on and talk about the Gran Canaria
Maspalomas
events. Yes.
Yes. Fantastic. Yeah.
It did really well this year, so we'll get them back on.
Yes, so thank you for your sponsorship. So you were just listening to Shout by Tears for Fears.
Yes, well done.
Great 80s theme going through today's records, and that song was chosen by the lovely Candy. Now Candy is a service user of the Sussex Beacon, and she is organising a day trip to Sheffield Park in Uckfield to look at the beautiful autumn colours of the Acer trees.
Oh, I mean, nice.
All the reds and the golds and things like that. Yeah. So it is a day trip for service users of the Sussex Beacon. It's on the Friday, the 14th of November, and there are posters up around the Sussex Beacon, and I won't give Candy's number out on air, but if you want to get in touch with her, you can contact her via the Sussex Beacon, or you can email us at info@hivhour.org.uk. It's a bring-your-own-packed lunch. Admission to Sheffield Park is £18, but they are doing car sharing, so you might want to offer your driver some money towards fuel and things like that. So
sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does indeed.
Never been to Sheffield Park.
This time of year it's lovely. Yeah. So go before the wind blows all the trees off, all the leaves off.
They've all gone off.
Yeah, all gone off. So anyway, thank you for the song, Candy, and I hope to see you on the 14th.
Fabulous. So three signed letters have been written by Diana, Princess of Wales, are to be auctioned off for HIV rights charity National AIDS Trust.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah, right. So ahead of this year's World AIDS Day on, it's Monday, the 1st of December.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, Princess Diana made a significant contribution to National AIDS Trust in her role as the patron of the charity from 1991 to 1997, probably when, when she passed away.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is one of only six charities she formally supported at the time of her death.
Right.
So one of the letters in the auction reads, "On every day of the year, we have a continuing duty to protect those vulnerable to AIDS and to promote compassion for those whose lives it touches." Right. While another, she laments the lack of a cure or vaccine. So it's interesting how she, if she,
yeah, because obviously, well, she died in 97. Yeah. That was just 2 years after therapy started to become effective in people. So I think the people talk about the 1995 threshold. But yeah, I mean, she was her going into the ward and shaking hands with people with AIDS was groundbreaking.
She was a great advocate,
people
she?
Some people were appalled, but
she did a good job. But it was interesting to see if she was still alive now, how the difference in treatments now
I think she would still be supporting our cause.
Yeah, I think she would, But isn't, doesn't Harry or...
Yes, so Harry has the Santa Barley charity, which was sort of carrying on Diana's work. Yeah,
it's brilliant. Mm. So on another, she laments the lack of a cure or a vaccine, I've just said, against the deadly threat. The main defences must therefore remain awareness, alertness and compassion.
And so these letters are up for auction, are they?
Yeah, so, I'm just walking down. It talks about what she did. So, yeah, sorry, everyone out there. Brandon Hove will mark World AIDS Day on Monday the 1st of December with an evening of music, remembrance and solidarity. I'm just trying to work out what that was.
So that's for World AIDS Day?
Yeah, so the auction for World AIDS Day for the National AIDS Trust, isn't it?
Yeah, so Diana became the patron of the National AIDS Trust in 91, choosing to focus her efforts on just a handful of causes. I'm reading this story and it says, it doesn't say when it's...
The auction.
Yeah.
So go to the National AIDS Trust website, I guess.
Got it.
And that will...
Sorry, listeners, I found it.
We are exchanging a lot of information with you, so please bear with us.
And I've got about 10 hands to trust to the desk. So I found
octopus.
It, so you
he's
can...
He's like an octopus, he is.
I am. This year's concert will raise funds for Lunch Positive, a Brighton-based charity that provides healthy meals.
This is the World AIDS Day concert.
Yes,
there we go.
I've got all over the place.
Okay, I've printed that one out for you. There you go.
I've just completely... Yes. I don't know where that's gone.
Did you know, listeners, there's a World AIDS Day charity concert on World AIDS Day after the candlelight vigil in Brighton and Hove? Josh is going to tell you more about it when he's recomposed himself. Obviously, we're having a bit of a giggle here just because we're like octopuses, but it's obviously a very worthwhile charity concert that actually comprises of the Actually Gay Men's Chorus.
Yes, brilliant.
The Brighton Gay Men's Chorus. The Rainbow Chorus. Resound and Brighton Rocks.
Sorry, I'll go.
So they're raising money for Lunch Positive, as you quite rightly
said. Yeah, I'm really sorry about that. I was interjecting everything. That's my fault. So the silent, it's going to be a silent auction with the Diana letters. Oh. Going back to that. So unfortunately, it doesn't say when that is. So it's going to be around World AIDS Day, obviously leading up to that. It's going to be a silent auction. So if you wanted to get involved, I would go to the National AIDS Trust
website,
which
I think it's nat.org as a guess, but do a search for it. You'll Google it. I know you're very good at that, listeners.
I do apologise because I was a bit confusing there, but if you want to go to the look at the letters and donate or go to their website.
Yeah, well, you might want a letter yourself.
Yeah,
you might do.
Yeah. Interesting to see how it was then and how she was speaking.
Yes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So anyway, go to the concert.
What else is happening on December the 1st?
It's World AIDS Day. Yeah. So are you speaking? So
the candlelight vigil, which happens in Brighton and Hove at the AIDS Memorial Statue in the New Steen Gardens, it happens at 6 o'clock until 7 o'clock, and it's quite handy because that concert is at 7:30 in St Mary's Church, just not far from the AIDS Memorial. So it's always a very moving day. It's a day of obviously commemoration and partly celebration as well for those. Well, not celebration, but
it's a difficult one to know, that, isn't it? What word to say?
Yeah, commemoration obviously for the people that we've lost, but also to
a testament to the people who are still surviving and how we are standing on the shoulders of the people who are no longer with us.
So
it always brings back mixed emotions for me. I remember the dark times. And hearing the names being read out is very powerful.
I think you can celebrate, I'll go back to my dad. Yeah. I was celebrating his life, and you can celebrate people's lives as well as commemorate, can't you? So I think both words can be used.
You celebrate the people who have died as well as commemorate them. It's not all bad, is it? It's part of grief to know. No, it can be funny, can't
it? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's good to laugh.
It can, yeah.
Absolutely, to chuckle about things.
So there are other things happening, aren't there? So,
on World AIDS Day.
Oh, yeah. Well, on World AIDS Day, so there's a whole list of things that we'll cover them nearer the day, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we'll do it. We'll be doing a special.
Obviously, our next episode is on the 20th of November. I believe that you and Sue are doing something together.
What now?
Yes, you are. Not in the studio.
Not in the studio. Yeah.
So, different studio.
So if you've heard of Latest TV, which is a local TV station, we're going to be interviewed by the lovely Andrew Kay, leading up to World AIDS Day. So me and Sue will be going up there and just talking about the HIV hour and World AIDS Day and what it means and... just talking all things HIV hour and World AIDS Day. So
good.
I don't know what will be aired. I mean,
hopefully
it'll be aired leading up to the first.
Yeah,
so we'll keep you posted. Looking forward to that.
Also, this month in November, on the 22nd of November, is the Red Run in London, which is a fantastic run. I forget the distance, but if you search Red Run London, and that raises money for Terence Higgins Trust and other charities. I know Philip's done it. I don't know if he's doing it again this year. We must have Philip on to talk about his running, because he's been running all over the place.
He's still running.
He's a very busy boy. So a big shout out to Philip, and good luck if you are running. On the 28th of November is the British HIV Association's Autumn Conference. That's in London. If there are still tickets available, if you wish to go along to that. I think there are still early bird tickets. They've extended the deadline, I think, to the 14th of November. But if you go to BHIVA.org, that's BHIVA.org, and you can see what the conference is going to be talking about. Some obviously very up-to-date information and science around HIV care and medicine. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, go along to that. Also on the 28th and the 29th of November, I'm making an exhibition of myself along with Joshua Royal, and I hope to be talking to Joshua before that, and we'll bring that on air about he's doing obviously the Naked Truth exhibition in the Coningsby Gallery in London on the 28th and the 29th. And he's also got an HIV gala
December
as well. So hello, Joshua. Shout out to you.
Yes. Did you know it's my brain's gone out of my mind again.
Okay.
Carry on. Sorry.
Yeah.
Other things. So
what was I say then?
Let's see. What else is going on in November? On the 19th of November. So 2 weeks today. There's the Lunch Positive Sea Haven Group.
Fabulous.
So if you're living in the New Haven and the Seaford areas of East Sussex, then that's a group for you.
That once a month, David.
That's once a month, and there's an Eastbourne social group with Lunch Positive. That will be on the first Saturday in December. There was one just happened just last weekend. We went along to the Eastbourne
group.
Yeah,
it was good. Nice to meet people who don't live in Brighton.
Just talking about the show. It was really nice to meet our audience in the fields where they naturally congregate.
I was going to ask, isn't it STI testing week this week?
Oh, that's a good idea. It's always a good idea to get your STIs tested.
Yeah, I think it is,
I
thought it was this week or next week.
I haven't written it in my calendar, to be fair.
No, there's so much going on.
There is.
See that. So check it out. I mean, if you want to get a test, it's always good to go and get one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Local.
Yeah. And for our London listeners, we have events going on. Positive for UK have sent Josh an email with different events going on.
Yeah, so Ealing Coffee Morning, and that's, I think it's Oh, that was that's gone actually. Sorry. So, holiday embroidery workshop with Sudan, and that's on the 11th of November and the 1st of December, and that's 3 till 6. So it's at the Positively UK building, which is Brickyard 28 Charles Square in London. You can upcycle your clothes and create holiday themed craft through embroidery.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So it's crafty, isn't it?
Events open to anyone identifying as a woman. There is 15 persons maximum for each session. So that's good. And then you do need to attend both, but you can if there is a space. Travel expenses can only be reimbursed from people on a low income or with no recourse to public funds. So if you're interested in that, can contact M Bocco. So I'll say that MBOCKOR @ positivelyuk.org or R Mucko. I'm sorry if I've got your surname wrong. That's RMUKO @ positivelyuk.org.
I think a lot of these events are listed on the Positively UK website. So
I think I've looked at that, definitely. Yeah. So many things to do, isn't there?
Yeah, but there's a straight group, I believe, which might be interesting because maybe obviously heterosexual people don't have as many places to meet and talk about HIV as the people in the LGBT community. So there's the straight talk. That's the 24th of November.
That's really good.
Elephant and Castle. There's a Women and Money Online workshop on the 25th of November. Obviously, the Red Run on the 22nd of November, we mentioned that.
Just checking it out.
All sorts of different groups. I mean, yeah, they're a great charity that do things for all the different communities affected by HIV.
So can I just say, we didn't talk about the MPOX as well, because that's just a quick mention of that. Because that's good.
So we mentioned the Beaver Conference, didn't we?
Yeah. So there's a small number of locally acquired cases of MPOX in America, Spain, Italy, and Netherlands, and Portugal. But no connection to countries with known MPOX transmission. So this suggests there is now community transmission of, God, it's all these little words, isn't it, of MPOX globally. So you just have to be aware. I think if you're HIV, I think it's...
So Beaver, the British HIV Association, is recommending that if you think you are at risk from getting MPOX, and MPOX, you can get it from just brushing against somebody, or obviously sexual contact, or if you're working with somebody that is like if you're a cleaner at a sex on premises venue, then it recommends that you get vaccinated for MPOX. The vaccine is free. I think it comes in two parts, and once you've had the second part, you are 80% protected from getting it MPOX.
Which is good.
Very good. It's science. It's like the statins. If it's available and you think you need it, go for it.
Yeah, it says most new cases in Europe and the US have been gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with them.
Yeah, right.
So it's worth thinking about. I don't know whether they're doing it at Terence Higgins Trust on Ship Street. I know they have done.
It's the NHS that are doing the
vaccine. Maybe we'll check out with THT as well sometimes.
Might do it. The Claude Nicole, which is the GUM clinic here in Brighton and Hove.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are other GUM clinics dotted around Sussex. If you think you're affected, please do get yourself vaccinated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never thought about it. Maybe
you know what? I don't think I'm very much at risk, but I think I might go for it anyway, just because I'm in a lot of contact with people who do go to premises like saunas and things like that. So
you brushed past me earlier.
I just brushed past you. Yes, and I know where you've been. Well, some of the places you've been. I don't know where everywhere you've
not
been.
Not today.
No. So
we're busy.
Yeah.
So we're coming to the end of the show. Lunch Positive is on tomorrow.
It is, yes.
Friday at the Dorset Gardens. So if you want a nice lunch and you want a natter.
Yeah, big shout out to all you volunteers and service users there.
It starts at, I think it's opened at 12, but lunch is at 1.
Serves at 1,
and there's donation, isn't it? And you can just have a chat or just go for lunch, can't you?
Yeah, it's just lovely to meet other positive people, and you don't even have to talk about HIV at all, do you?
No, it's not like that, is it?
No, it's just nice to be and to meet people.
Yeah. Mm. Anything else?
I think we've covered quite a lot this episode, haven't we?
It's been quite eventful, hasn't it?
Informative. If listeners could see, we've got bits of paper all over the studio. We've been throwing at each other, and that's why we said Joshua was a bit of an octopus earlier.
I think in the studio, you have to have about 10 hands, really.
And well, you've got, what, 8 sliders in front of you and different inputs coming from the computer, from your phone and all sorts.
Yeah, so it's,
yeah,
it's
I
kind
mean,
of a...
Yeah, it's a...
It's a challenge. And to talk, like...
Yes.
And, like, cause obviously I've made a few mistakes today, but I'm going to just...
I didn't notice any. No.
Right.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, neither do I. Nice to hear from you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. And, yeah, so it's leading up to World AIDS Day, so we'll be keeping you posted.
We will do.
Yeah, so that's it, really.
Thank you for listening. Have a lovely time. And if you've got any suggestions that you'd like us to discuss on the show, please do get in touch at info@hivhour.org.uk.
Right.
Yeah, particularly, I don't know, we're looking for people with pancreatic insufficiency.
Yeah.
But not just that, I mean, it can be anything you like. I mean, obviously.
Associated with the HIV,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Come on,
we're always keen to play your song choices, and I don't know if you've noticed, but we've started doing that recently.
Yeah.
And I think that people do like saying, oh, that's my song. And
I think it's lovely.
And it can be dedicated to somebody as well. So, yeah.
So with the 80s theme, I was listening to Fantastic, which is Wham's first album, and we'll finish on Ray of Sunshine, which is a brilliant song.
Wow.
So thanks for listening. See you next time.
Cheerio.
Cheery bye.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.